Yeah, there's so much you can do there. I mean, we did an amazing hike to the Hollywood sign. That was incredible. So we got up at sunrise, hiked up there and got to see Hollywood and Los Angeles from the top. And it was just, you know, people don't often think about that. And sometimes it is a case of doing a bit more research and looking a bit further into a place, and you can find there's adventure everywhere.
Hello, adventurers. I'm Fran Tarauskas, and welcome to today's episode of Seize Your Adventure. Before we begin, I would like to thank my patrons for helping to support Seize Your Adventure through patreon.com. This month, I have my first patron at the Adventure Advocate level. So that's $10 a month. And at that level, you do get a shout out on the podcast. So thank you very much to Mark T, aka my dad and my mum. My parents are definitely my biggest fans, and it is fitting to give them a shout out today because this special episode is coming out on my 31st birthday. So those of you who are familiar with the podcast will know that today, my 31st birthday, was going to be the end of my 30 at 30 challenge. I was attempting to do 30 different sports and activities over the past year, and I have to admit that I have failed. I did not finish what I set out to do. In the end, as with many of the best laid plans, I ran out of time and money, and then the pandemic put an end to anything else. But I ended up ticking off about 16 of the sports I had planned, and I am really proud of what I have done over the past year. I will go into more detail in the future, but for today, I just wanted to acknowledge that I'm not brushing it completely under the carpet, but it is something which I took on a bit too much, essentially. Somebody else who also had an exciting 12-month plan and is doing slightly better with it is today's guest. Annie Brooks is a blogger and a YouTuber from an award-winning blog called Tales of Annie Bean. Annie's writing and videos cover fitness, travel, lifestyle, and of course, adventure. And Annie was diagnosed with epilepsy back in 2012, and she has complex partial seizures. So a lot of her blog journey has been about learning to be active with the condition and learning to recognise these seizures. And back in September, she decided to take on 12 challenges in 12 months to raise awareness for epilepsy. And some of these were big challenges. We are talking about half marathons, ultra marathons, and a couple of triathlons. And she also chose a few challenges that were more mental challenges because they were connected in some way to previous problems she's had with epilepsy. Whilst her 12 in 12 has been put on pause for obvious reasons, Annie has definitely opened up the conversation about epilepsy with her challenges. And so, of course, I wanted to be part of that conversation. So here it is, my chat with Annie Brooks.
Oh, this is going to be a great conversation. I've been looking forward to this for ages.
Yeah, me too. Do you know what? I was thinking the other day, I was like, we've been talking about this for ages and we haven't had a chance to.
Your blog was how I came across you, essentially. I think just typing in epilepsy and adventure doesn't bring up very much at the moment. So I think you came up fairly quickly on there. I'd like to head back to the start of your journey a little bit and just talk about how you started off with the travel and the living lifestyle, the lifestyle blog.
I started as a fashion blogger. Everyone laughs at this because I am so unfashionable, it's ridiculous. Started as a fashion blogger and then realised that so wasn't me. So started branching out into other areas. I'd just got into triathlon, so started writing about my running and started finding that more people were interested in it. I thought maybe I should kind of talk about this a little bit more. So started talking about that and then realized actually I love travel as well, so added that into it and slowly phased out my terrible fashion blogging days, and just started talking about it a bit more. And with that, it kind of encouraged me to do more as well, because I wanted to share that you can see all these amazing places and do all these amazing things, really.
Yeah, and you say that you're not into the fashion, you didn't do very well with that, but I have to say, looking at your blog on your website, I do always admire what you're wearing when you're out doing things. I am absolutely like, just will chuck on all of my old stuff that's about 5 years old and shoes that are falling apart and things, and you're always quite pristine and well put together. So
I'm glad that how that comes across. I don't think I've got out of gym wear for the last 3 weeks, so yeah, that's
but it's very nice gym wear.
I am quite lucky with that, so yes.
So talking about going into the travel side of things there, you've written about quite a lot of places on the blog now. Is there anywhere in particular that you would say is your favourite place, the one that you would say to people to go and visit if you have the opportunity?
Okay, so if I'm looking on sort of global scale, I think if you read my blog or you know anything about me, you'll know this. I absolutely love California. I'm a huge fan of the area. I was actually, sad to say, I was actually meant to be flying out there in 2 days, but because of obviously the current lockdown situation, that's not happened. But I would definitely say California is one of my favorite places because there's so much to do in that state. Do three board sports in one day if you wanted. You could go to Big Bear to go snowboarding, you could go to Venice for skateboarding, or you could go surfing in Huntington Beach. And it's the active outdoor lifestyle. There's hikes available, you can go horse riding, there's just so much. I could talk about California for hours, so I won't bore you, but I'd definitely say California, if you're going to go anywhere, that is a place to go. And then UK wise, that's really tricky because there's a lot of places I really like in the UK. Now I've been put on the spot, I can't figure out which one's my favourite. I mean, I guess I really like hikes and stuff. So in the Lake District, I'm always a big fan of, and it's sort of a go-to for camping. I mean, we did a wild camp in Angleton on my birthday, which was fantastic. I think we did that 2 years ago now. So I'd say around there is one of my favourite places to go to kind of get off the map a little bit and just go and enjoy a bit of outdoors.
Hearing about that side of California is quite nice, actually, because it's not a state that I'm familiar with. I've never been there and I don't really know as many people out there. And you quite often think of California as that it's just beachside. You get surfing and that's kind of it. So to hear about the other side of things.
Yeah, there's so much you can do there. I mean, we did an amazing hike to the Hollywood sign. That was incredible. So we got up at sunrise and hiked up there and got to see Hollywood and Los Angeles from the top. And it was just, you know, people don't often think about that. And sometimes it is a case of doing a bit more research and looking a bit further into a place, and you can find there's adventure everywhere.
Mm. So now that you've mentioned that, obviously, I always ask people, so I think this is a good place to do it. What does adventure mean to you? What do you think of when you hear that word, adventure?
Adventure is, it's a personal thing, obviously. For me, it's about getting out and having a go. And I mean, really, it is about fresh air and freedom. That's more of what I call adventure. It's being outdoors, you know, whether that's on your bike, up a mountain, in the sea. It's something outdoors and appreciating nature at its best. That's adventure to me.
We started off with this really lovely travel blog. It's always going to be a draw for me, anything that's travel related. But you decided to start using that blog as well to talk about your epilepsy. And you did a very very personal story about your epilepsy diagnosis, which was just lovely to read the full process of it. And I'm sure that a lot of people would resonate with them. What made you decide to do that post? What made you decide to kind of veer away from what people were reading to something that was different but needed in a different way?
I'd actually started in 2015. I did a video, I did a YouTube video on complex partial seizures, and so that's when it started. But I didn't really do anything on my blog, and then I decided I needed to be brave and talk about it. I don't know what it was, I'm not sure what kind of triggered me to think, let's do this. But I did, and I felt like this massive weight was, it sounds really bizarre, but I felt like this massive weight was off my shoulders, that everyone now knew that I have epilepsy, and that's fine. And I really wanted to tell people, because I couldn't find the information when I was going through diagnosis on this kind of epilepsy that I was experiencing. And I felt like, I've got this platform here. People are reading my blog for other reasons. Let's branch out and tell people this journey and my story, so then they don't feel as isolated as I did when I was going through it myself, if that makes sense. And so I felt like it was my job. I needed to do this.
Yeah, and thank you for doing it as well, because I think you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head with the talking about the different kinds of epilepsy. That's certainly something that I found with learning from other people, because my epilepsy is a bit more stereotypical, as it were. It's what people think about when you hear the word epilepsy. So learning from other people like yourself, where there are different types of epilepsy, there are different types of seizure, and how you have to kind of like manage those or live with those in a different way. And you kind of say it felt like you needed to do it. It felt like something that was needed in the world. You also, around about the same time, started doing the triathlons. And was that for an epilepsy charity in the first place?
Yes. My husband, it's completely my husband's fault. he's the triathlete. He started it off, and he did an Ironman, which is crazy. So he did an Ironman. He was like, why don't you get into triathlon? Why don't you give it a go? And I signed up for, which is obviously, everyone knows this one, it's the Blenheim Palace triathlon. I signed up in 2014, and I felt like I was just starting to feel a bit more confident about having epilepsy. And I thought, right, okay, I'm going to do this for a charity. And I did it for epilepsy research, because I felt like there needs to be more research into it. And I thought, well, these are the people to help give money to. And I don't normally do any charity sort of stuff, but I just wanted to do one race that I could give back to a charity. And so I trained, and I did Blenheim Palace Triathlon, which is a sprint distance. And yeah, I did that for charity, and it was amazing. And then I found that I loved open water swimming from it. Yeah.
You say it's one everyone knows. I have to say, I didn't know it until you kind of, I read about you doing it. I'm not a triathlete. I think I've said that to you before. It's something that is very... yeah, very, very kind of like out of my depth, literally. But
you say that, I'm going to get you into one. You do one with me at some point.
I will do one. And I have started. I was going to be doing one in May. I did decide before it kind of got cancelled to pull out of it, because I wasn't, surprisingly, at the swimming side of it, I would have been okay with, I think, but I wasn't confident with the cycling aspect of it, because they weren't going to close the roads down.
Blenheim would be a good one. I think they've cancelled it this year and it's been postponed, but that one's a great one because it's closed, it's all within the palace.
Swimming is obviously something that, you have epilepsy, you shouldn't be swimming. How did you approach that, in terms of, did you speak to neurologists about it? Did you know anybody else that was a swimmer, or were you just a confident swimmer anyway?
This actually stems back to that triathlon, actually. I used to be like in the water all the time when I was younger. And I think it's just one of those things that as you get older, you either keep swimming or you kind of stop. And I sort of just stopped, and I couldn't do front crawl at all. I barely did breaststroke, and my husband spent time with me in a pool teaching me how to do front crawl. And I did that triathlon and literally was hooked ever since. And I realized I didn't ever want to do a pool swim triathlon. Yeah. I don't know why. I was just like, I'm not doing it. I love the open water. And so I spent a lot of time dedicated to getting into open water and feeling confident in the water. And I sounds a bit big-headed, but I do actually feel really confident in open water. Obviously, where epilepsy is concerned, because, you know, people do get a bit like, you shouldn't be swimming, you've got epilepsy, what happens if you have a seizure? Granted, that's always a risk, but everyone's different. And I get feelings if I know I'm not in a good place, or if I'm having a wobble, and I know if it's going to happen. So I wouldn't swim, you know, or I swim with somebody else. Well, I would always swim with somebody else anyway. But it's just about being a bit erring on the side of caution.
Mm. I think that confidence is so important, because that's one thing I've certainly found, is that there are aspects that I'll go, oh, well, I'm really confident doing that, so I'm not at all worried. And there are others where it's brand new to me. So suddenly anything that could be a risk is suddenly 10 times riskier in my head than it needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I must admit, when this race that I was supposed to be doing, the Ironman Oceanside, that was going to be my first sea swim. Now, I must admit, I was slightly nervous about this, but I just travelled to Costa Rica over Christmas, over New Year. And during that time, I did some sea entry and exit training just to get past that confidence issue. I knew I needed to just get on and do it, but there was no other way of me doing it. So I had to try and get out there and make sure I ticked it off. Otherwise I would have built it up in my head to be worse than it was, if that makes sense, which I do think a lot of people do anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And it's certainly something that like I say, with the swimming, I think I was a very nervous swimmer when I was younger, way before I got diagnosed with epilepsy. So swimming has always been a little bit of a thing with me. I do not like putting my head under the water.
Sorry, I'm only laughing because the only reason I'm laughing is because my mum is like that. My mum just will not put her head in the water. She's just never done it since I was, sorry, that's really no. But I've never seen my mum put her head in the water with swimming, whereas I'm like my dad and we're in the water all the time. If it's not right for you, it's not right for you. It's totally understandable. It is quite scary.
But I would say that there's ways to adapt to quite a lot of things, even if you are feeling a bit unconfident about it. Like you said, with the sea swimming, going and doing it somewhere where you could practice getting in and out, just building up that confidence in a slightly different way is so important, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would say from an open water swimming perspective, okay, so a lot of people they'll start off in the pool, especially with a triathlon, they'll start off in the pool, they'll do the smaller triathlons, and then they'll be sort of looking to go, okay, so what can I do next? And so some of the bigger races are open water, and it is intimidating to start with, because you're like, I'm getting in here, I can't hold on to the sides. What do we do? Well, first of all, your wetsuit's quite buoyant, so you're floating anyway, pretty much. There are other ways of doing it. So you can get like a tow float. So it's essentially like a float that clips around you. So you've got that. So say if you start to feel like you're struggling and you're kind of like, oh, I need a break, this is hard, you've got that to hold on to. So it's like so you've got that as an option. I'd always suggest a similar tips would be to you'd obviously go to a specific place where you can do open water swimming, but you can join on with beginner group. There's so many more people getting into open water swimming, which is fantastic. Most places are putting on beginner sessions, and so you'll go out together. So there's more people together, and that's a big, big, big thing for confidence with open water.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
So they're the things I know you're not asked for that. No. But I'm telling you, these are my tips for confidence.
Yeah, hearing you speak about it, I'm there going, oh, well, I mean, that sounds good. You make it sound good and easy. So let's go and...
Yeah, exactly. It is about, I mean, don't get me wrong. When I first started, I was nervous. I didn't just like leap in there because one, it's freezing but it's not always freezing, I won't put you off, but yeah, you know, like I was nervous to start with completely, you know, and it is just about, you know, I'll swim to that first buoy and back, okay, let's go to the next one. It is daunting not having the sides, and that's what freaks people out, but there are things you can do, and it's just slowly building it up.
Yeah, thank you, beautiful. Let's give people a little bit of context to your story and you doing these triathlons and things. I think we mentioned briefly that the type of seizures you have, they're mostly simple partial seizures.
Yeah.
Can you just give us a little bit of background in terms of your diagnosis, how your seizures were presenting and how you found out and were told that you have epilepsy?
I was diagnosed in 2012, and I must have been having what we call as episodes for maybe 4 years, and they started to get progressively worse. But I had no idea what they were, because if you experience it, because you're still awake, you just think it's part of, oh, I just feel a bit odd. Do you know what I mean? But they started to get progressively worse. And what I was finding was I was swallowing a lot. My hand would just suddenly like motor off. So it'd be just one hand and it'd get really fidgety. And I'd have a sort of a deja vu feeling, and then it'd be extreme fear. And I feel like it sounds so dramatic, but I just feel like I wanted to die because it was so scary. And this was going on for ages. And I went to the doctors quite a few times, and they just kept saying, you're just having panic attacks, or it's anxiety, or you're depressed. And there was all these things. And it was actually one of these fellow fashion bloggers, actually, funnily enough. You know what it's like when girls all chat in the toilets. And I got talking to this other fellow fashion blogger. I met her that one night. I'd opened up to her. And she said to me, she's like, do you know what? I experienced exactly the same things, but it turned out to be epilepsy. And she said, you need to go and see your doctor and tell him to send you to a neurologist. I'm really like speeding through this, but I went to the doctor and I said, look, if you send me to a neurologist, if I'm totally going out on a tangent here, then, you know, we can look at the antidepressant route, because they were really trying to push me onto that. And I'm sort of a firm believer of don't take something unless you get confirmation that that's what it is, if that makes sense. And then I went to a neurologist. I even played down my symptoms, and he immediately said, you're experiencing partial seizures. He was like, you can't drive anymore. I need you to stop driving, and I just cried. And even now I see the neurologist, and he's so funny. And he's always like, oh, you're the girl I made cry. I'm like, this shouldn't be entertaining to you. Yes, you did make me cry. I'm fine now. I think I cried because it was like relief, but not at the same time. I wanted it not to be something I'd imagined, but then at the same time, it was so much emotion built up for so many years. It was my EEG that showed up epileptic brainwaves, and that was kind of the confirmation that I got epilepsy. But yeah, it'd been going on for years. I'm just flashing back now. I mean, me and my husband worked a ski season, and I remember I had to do one of the talks, like the intro talks. I was really nervous about doing it. And you know what? I'd had a seizure, which now I know what it was, midway through. And I've got no idea what happened. I think I repeated the same word over and over again, you know, like a record that's stuck. I couldn't, my head couldn't catch it with my mouth. There was all sorts of different situations. I can look back and go, oh my God, that was epilepsy. How did I not know that? You know, it's so hazy. That's the problem. Even now, I second guess if I've experienced something, because I'm like, hang on, did that happen? Because everything's such a blur. I think because you, with partial seizures, because you don't pass out and you're still there, that's half the problem, I think. And I think a lot of people actually struggle with that. It's like there's a short circuit in your brain for however many seconds, and then it reconnects. And it's like, oh, hang on, what happened?
Yeah, and I think what your story goes, well, your story shows so many things. It's very, very telling the importance of speaking about it. Like you said, when you started talking about it on YouTube and blogging about it, doing it not just for yourself but for other people to have a bit of a touchstone to it, and you know your entire diagnosis stems to you having a conversation about epilepsy in a bathroom at an award ceremony. So.
I know, isn't that hilarious? You know, you can't make that up, really. I'm like, how did that happen? And I feel like it sounds really, again, another dramatic statement, but I feel like I met her for a reason. It was like I got to the brink of, people are talking about this more and more, but I'd actually got more depressed because I felt like I was stuck. But it was the epilepsy that was making me depressed, because some people do get down after a seizure. And I was having them all like one after the other because I'd be so stressed and I'm so worried about it. But the fact that I met this girl who was telling me about it made me realize that I need to have more conversations about this. I don't want anyone to have to go through what I have. And I think, had I have known more about epilepsy, I perhaps wouldn't have had to wait so long to get diagnosed.
Yeah, absolutely. How does it physically affect you? Do you feel drained after a seizure? Is that something that you kind of like notice the physicality of it?
As many other epileptics experience, your seizures sometimes change over the years. I have a complete combination now, depending on how intense they are. So if it's a really, really hard one and not a nice one, not if it ever is nice, but it's a, what's the word I'm looking for? More intense seizure, then I will need to rest for a lot longer. I get migraines after a seizure normally. So I do tend to have to rest. I feel very drained and I can feel not really myself for a good few hours. Sometimes it can take days. It really does depend on what kind of a seizure I have. And I mean, this is self-diagnosis here, but I must admit, I feel like I have a combination of simple partial, complex partial and absences. And obviously more recently, I've started having more nocturnal seizures, which is slightly frustrating, but I do feel very much like I have to sleep afterwards.
Mm.
A lot of the time people look at you and they think, oh, you're fine, nothing's wrong with you. And whilst I'd say 80% of the time I'm absolutely fine, we constantly have to adjust our lives to cater to it. Like if I know I'm going to have to be up late or early, I've got to make sure that I have plenty of downtime. Exercise is potentially off the table because I'll burn out, and burnout and getting tired then causes me to be more susceptible to having a seizure or putting myself into a stressful situation. There's all these things that you have to sort of constantly deal with.
Have you found at any point that doing a lot of exercise or this kind of fairly intense training that you're doing for things like your triathlons and your 12 at 12, which we'll go into in a little bit, have you noticed any difference in terms of the types or the amount of seizures you have, either to the positive or negative?
With regards to exercise, I think I'm just actually really aware of how much I can and can't do. Like your body would anyway, you know, if you do, I don't know, 3 training sessions in one day and they're all intense training sessions, your body anyway, regardless of whether you've got epilepsy or not, is gonna feel it. So it's kind of just the same way, just perhaps making sure I get, you know, an hour extra sleep because I've done more, managing it that way. And I'll be honest, I haven't necessarily felt any difference because I'm very much aware that that could happen.
Mm.
Things that I do find are out of my control are stressful situations because I can't control them. It's those that seem to trigger my epilepsy more so than the exercise, which is great because I like the exercise. So that's fine.
Do you say the exercise helps with the stress?
Yeah, I think it's because your mind is elsewhere. I don't know if that's what everyone else feels or not. I'm only talking about my situation, but I do find that if I'm focused on something else, I'm not worrying about feelings or worried a seizure might happen or, you know, thinking about anything else. I'm focused on what I'm doing. And I do a lot of So it might come across like I do a lot of like just swimming, biking and running for triathlon, but I actually have made plenty of space in my workout timetable for stuff like yoga and mindfulness and those things as well to try and balance it out a bit. So not just constant like cardiovascular, let's go for it sort of exercise, trying to mix it up a bit. Exercise isn't a one size fits all. If you don't like running, that's okay. There's plenty of things that you can have a go at or try. Or, you know, sometimes people don't like the fast paced exercise. You can still get a good workout from a variety of options. I mean, you know, cycling, you know, you don't even have to go fast or like have an intense workout. You can just go for a nice bike ride. You know, so there's a lot of things you can do, but I do find that as long as you're safe, obviously, you know, ideally cycle with somebody, make sure people know where you are. You can do all sorts of exercises safely and enjoy them. And I think you kind of taking yourself away from overthinking. And I think having something to divert your attention elsewhere, I definitely think really helps.
We're in lockdown, so we'll come on a little bit in terms of how that's affected your bigger plans. But how are you keeping yourself a little bit active at the moment whilst you're essentially stuck indoors most of the time?
Yeah, I am very lucky. I have got a dog and the dog needs walking. Some days we'll just go for a nice long walk. Other days we've gone for what I call the dog jog, which is a combination of running and walking the dog. So we've done a few of those and then gone back old school and done some aerobics classes. not your Jane Fonda style ones, like kind of like your body attack and body combat, those sorts of ones. And then doing yoga classes. And then I've actually got a turbo trainer. Your own bike that you cycle on is like clipped into this turbo trainer. And this program called Zwift as an online virtual ride. So I could essentially get some of my friends to meet up with me for a virtual ride. So we all can ride together. So I'm decorating as well. So that's keeping me active as well. I'm trying to just do as much as possible to, you know, keep my fitness levels up. So yeah, just kind of adapting, shall we say.
Let's talk about your 12 at 12. Can you just explain to me where the idea of 12 at 12 came from, and can you run down the what you've done so far, essentially what ones you've completed?
12 and 12 came, and again, another, you know what, I'm actually saying this, I'm realizing my husband has a lot to answer to, because if this was his idea, he got me triathlon and now he's actually got me into doing 12 and 12. So 12 and 12 challenges came from, I'd actually been at the Keswick Mountain Festival last year. I did the Adidas Terex 10K race there. I did that at the festival, and my husband said to me, he goes, why don't you do something bigger about epilepsy? You know, you've got a conversation going, you get emails globally. He said, why don't you go bigger and talk about it more, to show that people with your condition can still live a happy, active life? Sure, I don't know exactly what I can do. And so I kind of, the next month, I sort of started the ball rolling. I didn't want to just do one run after another run after another run. I thought if I do a few that are kind of testing me, sort of some mental barriers, I guess, I thought actually this is important for people who've got epilepsy, because these are things that will test us. So I added some of those in. We've put it on pause because of this lockdown that we've spoken about. But I started with the Lakeland Trail Run. That was a 14K. I've done the Henley Open Water Mile Swim. Challenge three was the Wirral Sprint Triathlon. That was a beautiful triathlon, by the way. That was amazing. Challenge four was a swimathon. Challenge five was the Skeleton Run at Beacon Hill, which was completely in the dark. That was one of the funniest things I've ever done. We had to run around with head torches on. It was probably quite a good thing, because Beacon Hill, I'm based in Leicestershire, and Beacon Hill is a massive hill. You do not want to run up it because it's brutal, but because you're in the dark, you don't actually realize how how steep it is. But coming down is one of the best feelings in the, like, descending is the best feeling in the world. So that was fun. I then did a indoor skydive, followed by the Whitby Boxing Day sea swim, which was ridiculously cold. Then did a snowboarding lesson. Now, this was a mental challenge because that was referencing back to when I did that ski season, which I've told you about. And I didn't realise that I was having seizures whilst I had a snowboarding lesson. And so it kind of tainted it for me. So I thought, right, let's do a beginner snowboard lesson. And by the end of it, I was turning. So, and I loved it. So that was one of the challenges. And then my ninth challenge was the Brighton Half Marathon, which, if anyone heard about that, it was that windy, very, very windy weekend. And so I did the half marathon. That was with, I ran with Charlie from the Runner Beans. So she joined me there, and that was amazing, and I loved it. And then lockdown happened, and the others have been on pause.
Do you have a favourite challenge that you've done of those ones?
I'd probably say the Brighton Half was one of my favourites. That was really hard. I am quite competitive. I was gonna lie and say I wasn't. No, I mean, I am competitive. I can't deny it. Anyone I tell you I am. So I had previously done two half marathons before it. Like, we're talking years ago. I did the Cambridge half marathon, and I think I did the Nike Run to the Beat. And if you've ever read any of my blog posts, the Nike Run to the Beat half marathon was the one I had a seizure in without knowing. It took me 2 hours 40 to finish that one. And so I'd kind of said to myself, I was like, I need to get sub two hour. So I'd got that goal in place, and Charlie was running with me, and then the wind happened. Oh my goodness. And she said to me, she's like, this is going to be hard. I hope you do realize this. I don't know how we're going to get to the sub two. And I was like, I need to get this sub two. It will drive me nuts if I don't get it. In the end, I did 2 hours and 31 seconds. And I have never pushed so hard in my life. But she said to me, she goes, if you know what, you lost time because of how much wind there was against us, you would have totally got that. And I was like, in my mind, it's kind of a sub two. I feel like that was a massive achievement because I worked so hard. I joined a running club, which was a big step for me because I get a bit nervous about, perhaps don't come across like it, but I do get nervous joining new things like that. I joined a running club and was training so hard for it. So I felt like that was a big achievement because I could see how much progression I'd done. And that was really rewarding. And also because, like I mentioned, I've had seizures running, and it's only running that has triggered seizures with exercise. Touch wood, it's never been anything else. So I was a little bit worried about running a certain distance, because it was the same distance as when I had a seizure in 2010, that I was like, I hope I'm going to be okay. I was absolutely fine. So I'd got over a mental barrier as well as a physical one as well. So that's why that one means the most to me, I'd say. I mean, the others are just, you know, when I was just reading that list out, I can't believe I've done all those things. I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, I'm trying to think of another one that, the other one I'd say was really quite a big wow was when I did the Wirral Sprint Triathlon, which was the third challenge. That was a bit of a wake-up call. Oh God, I hope I don't put everyone off from open water swimming, but basically people were swimming over the top of each other at the start. I was like, this is a bit crazy, but I got on really fine. I was like, I think this is just the norm. Everyone seems okay with this. Let's just go with it. And I did a really good swim. And I was like, wow, I didn't panic. There's so many things I'm so happy about that I've done in all these challenges. The Brighton one is the one that I feel at the moment the most proud of.
So at the moment, everything has been put on pause. You were saying, though, so there's three challenges left. If you want to just say first off what those challenges, what you had planned and what you think you're going to do now.
So I had plans for March to do, it was actually with Sean from The Girl Outdoors. I was trying to get people to join me on a few bits if they wanted to towards the end. And Sean said that she would do this challenge with me. And I was going to be kayaking Windermere end to end, a little bit of something different. I like kayaking. Let's give this a go. It's not another running race or anything like that. So that was going to be that challenge. And the next challenge was going to be Ironman Oceanside 70.3. That got cancelled, and then we couldn't fly to California. So that happened. And then I was going to be doing the finishing with an ultra marathon, and that was at the Keswick Mountain Festival. But then, unfortunately, that got cancelled too. So that happened. Another thing out of my control. Couldn't do anything about it. I've now decided my final race is going to be in September. I've got August, which is the London Tri, and that's I'm doing the Olympic distance, so it's up from a sprint. And then to finish, I've just switched my Ironman Oceanside place. I'm going to do Ironman Santa Cruz 70.3 in September, and it lands on my birthday. So that should be a great, well, I don't know if many people would call that a great birthday present or not. I'm not sure, but that'll be how I'll end, and we'll be in California.
It's a memorable birthday, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of the stuff that you're doing are organised races. Do you tell the organisers that you have epilepsy, and how do they react to that if you do tell them?
Actually, I did contact the Ironman Oceanside about this because I'd read somewhere that somebody had told them that they'd got epilepsy and they had a kayak go out with them.
Oh, really?
She got partial seizures, but she let them know and they let a kayak go with them. So I will always try where possible to let them know. I think I've got to a point now where I'm not embarrassed by it. If it happens, it happens. But I will say that I'm pretty much controlled and I'm aware of when it's happening, but I always let people know.
As you could probably tell, speaking to Annie was so lovely, and I am so happy that you get to hear our conversation. There is something very reassuring about having another woman with epilepsy using sport and travel to share awareness for the condition. And I'm glad that I managed to get this one out this week because it is National Epilepsy Awareness Week. And of course, it is my birthday. If you do want to make my birthday really awesome, if you are in a position to support me financially and you do find value in the work that I do with Seizure Adventure, please do consider becoming a patron on Patreon. So you head to patreon.com/seizureadventure and it explains that in more detail. You can become an adventure ally for as little as $3 a month, and there are various levels of support all the way up to producer level, which is $250, which is about how much it costs me to make an episode. And if you can't support me financially, don't worry, I still see you and I appreciate you. Please do keep sharing the episodes around, let me know what you think, and let me know when you share so that I can thank you personally. Now, before the end of our conversation, I did ask Annie what she would say to someone if they had just been diagnosed with epilepsy. So I will leave you with those words. And until next time, safe adventures, everyone.
Just know that it sounds cheesy, but you're not alone. There are people out there that are experiencing exactly what you're experiencing. You're not going crazy. It passes. And with help of medication and fantastic neurologists, these things can get more controlled. I mean, I was experiencing up to 5 a day. I really struggled. And now I'm able to do so much even with this condition. So it does get better. It really does. You know, I'm doing all these adventures and stuff, but, you know, I'm still being careful. And you can live a full adventurous life. Hopefully we're both promoting that between us, that you can still have a lot of fun with life. It's scary to start with. This is just the first step, and you will get to where we both are now. And that's probably what I would say to myself if I could back then.